pass the cup of tea. I'll leave it with you, Tim and Sue, if you fancy being creative with that. I have the privilege now for the next few minutes of just sharing God's word with us all. And so would you just allow me to pray before I do that? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that this is powerful. And we choose to live our lives by the words that are written in this book, not out of religious duty. In fact, the complete opposite. It's because this book reveals who you are, God. And this book invites us into the most wonderful relationship with you that just brings us into freedom. And so this morning, it's my prayer that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that in these next few moments, as I just share some thoughts this morning, that I believe you've put on my heart for today, that, Lord, you'd help me to speak well and not to waffle too much. And I pray, Father, that you would help all of us that are listening right now to the sound of my voice to be able to hear your word and that there'd be no distractions stopping us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And some of you may have said a big amen to help me not to waffle so much. That's fine. Probably my mum would be the biggest one shouting amen to that. Well, it's been quite a week, hasn't it? I can't remember whether it was Monday or Tuesday that Boris Johnson made the announcement. I think it was Tuesday, but I'm not sure, as he began to announce some of the eases in the restrictions that we've been under. And of course, we're all sort of waiting for the 4th of July and some of the greater freedoms that we will experience. And I know that there's always going to be mixed reactions to that. And in a way, I don't want to go down that line too much this morning. But something has really grabbed my heart this week. And that's just been recognising the responses, certainly within my own life, to that sense of freedom. That sense of, wow, I'm not under so many restrictions now. Of course, for the last few weeks, some of those restrictions have been eased. This week, I was able to see my mum for the first time. Those of you who don't know, my mum lives about an hour away in Tunbridge Wells. And so she came to Folkestone and we were able to sit in the garden. And again, under all the guidelines that were offered, but we were just able to enjoy seeing each other face to face rather than on a screen. I also went round to my brother's house this week and really enjoyed just being able to sit with him in the garden and just, again, have that conversation face to face. And these things that we took for granted so much, all of our lives actually, now become really precious to us. And we're like, wow, really, really appreciate that. Here's the thing that maybe I didn't appreciate so much, but certainly my girls did, and that was the ability to go to Primark again. Yes, I said it. Don't boo and hiss me. Even that, the fact that we're able to go out and do some shopping that isn't essential shopping, although my girls would disagree. They would say it's very essential shopping. And so just to be able to get them some much needed clothes that they needed. And so we're in this sort of strange time at the moment where these restrictions are being eased. My daughter's back at school and I'm actually, although there was a little bit of uncertainty around the start of that, actually there's something so beautiful again about being able to meet together, to see people, just that sense of community, which is what we're created for. I keep saying this and I'm going to keep saying it. We're not created to live on our own. We're created for community and to be together. So as these restrictions are beginning to ease, we're enjoying a greater sense of freedom, of relief. I'm even going to use the word joy, and I say that reluctantly because I am so mindful that within this season, there are still many that are walking a road of grief. And so I say that word carefully because I know that this isn't like a massive celebration. Our country has been through something horrendous and continues to battle this, and we will for some time. But it is the truth that there is relief. Maybe that's just the word to use right now. There is relief in knowing that we can begin to see one another again. And we have to be careful as we do that. But actually what joy that does bring and what relief that brings. It won't surprise you to know, though, that has really grabbed my thoughts this week as I've spent time with God and especially mindful of this morning. Because what I want to say to us is this, is that as much as there is great relief and joy in the physical freedom that we're beginning to experience again, and in the restrictions that are being eased from the lockdown that we found ourselves in, certainly throughout April, do you know there is a greater freedom? There is a greater freedom than our physical freedom. There's a greater joy, that there's a more significant freedom that you and I need to come into, way, way bigger, way greater than our physical freedom, and that is our spiritual freedom. Our spiritual freedom. There is a greater freedom, And you might find that hard to understand, and in these next few moments I'm going to try and explain that to you. But here's the truth, that actually you can be physically free. Boris Johnson could announce suddenly today that that's it, it's all over, all physical restrictions over, and yet you could be so locked down in your spirit, the thing that matters most, and therefore you might physically be free, but if spiritually you're not free, then you are in a worst state, a worst state. I almost want to suggest to you, and the Bible says this, that actually better to be locked down physically and be spiritually free, because our real freedom comes from our spirit. Our real freedom is from what is within us. You might have all the physical freedoms, and I'm going to share a couple of stories about that, all the physical freedoms that you think this world can offer you, but if you are spiritually locked down, you're in a worst state. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died that we might be free. He died to bring lockdown to an end once and for all. Not a physical lockdown, but a spiritual lockdown. You see, right at the beginning of time, and we read this account in Genesis chapter 3, right at the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, they chose to do what they wanted to do rather than live in the freedom that actually God had created for them. They actually said no to his freedom, and they stepped into a realm of making their own decisions and their own choices that actually brought destruction not only to them but onto this world. And from Genesis 3 we see that sin came into the world, and that's when lockdown started. That's when lockdown really started, when our spirits were locked down. Paul, in the book of Galatians, in a letter that he wrote, he describes it like this. He describes lockdown as being a slave to sin. He says that actually, in our own nature, because of Genesis 3, when sin came into the world, we became a slave to sin. What does that mean? It means this. It means that I'm controlled by unhelpful thought patterns. It means that I'm controlled by addictions and habits, a lifestyle, the things I say, the things I speak, the actions that I take. Any parent will tell you they don't have to teach their children to do what is wrong. It's inherent within us. It's called our sinful human nature. It's called lockdown. Our spirits are locked down. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to release us from lockdown. I mean, at the minute in this country, people are saying the 4th of July, that's our Independence Day. I want to tell you this, that when Jesus Christ died and when he rose again, that was Independence Day. That was Independence Day. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared Independence Day. You are free. The grave will not hold you anymore. Death will not hold you anymore. For he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Do you know what that tells me? That there's no second wave coming. Spiritually. Jesus Christ died once and for all, and that is it. When you say yes to Jesus, you are spiritually free. You don't have to live in fear of lockdown anymore. You're free. You're free. When Jesus sets you free, you are completely free. This morning, I've got a message of hope for us. We might be enjoying the relief of physical restrictions being eased. But I want to almost urge you. I want to beg you. Please, please don't think that that's all that this world is about. Oh, so long as I'm physically free, I'll be all right. There is a greater freedom that you need, and it's a spiritual freedom. I want to very quickly just highlight three stories. Two of them are parables, so they're not true. They're stories that Jesus told to illustrate something. The third one is a real person. Three men, actually. I didn't deliberately choose that. It's just the stories that came to me. Let's do the real one first. The Bible talks about a rich man. He came to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, good teacher. See, he recognized there was something about Jesus that was good. He said, good teacher, tell me what I must do to inherit eternal life. Isn't that the question that we ask? If there's something else out there, how do I attain it? How do I get it? You know, we all face death, the reality of death. And I don't know what you think about that. You may be watching this morning and you're not a Christian and you would say, oh, this just all feels a bit airy-fairy to me. But the reality is, when we face death, when we have to look at that in the face, we start asking some big questions. No matter who you are, you ask the big questions of life. Is there eternal life? Is there more to life than this? I want to tell you this morning, there is. There is. And this man comes to Jesus and he says, how do I get that eternal life? What a wise question to ask. And he then starts to tell Jesus all the amazing things that he does, that he's a good person, he keeps all the commandments, he's a good guy. And then Jesus goes right to the area of lockdown in his life. And he says, yep, you're a good guy, but you're locked down by money. You're controlled by money. You're a slave to money. Do you know, people misinterpret this story. They think that Jesus is saying that money is wrong. He's not saying that. Jesus is not saying that money is wrong. But what he's saying is that if you're a slave to it, then that's wrong. You see, if you're a slave to anything, it's wrong. You could be a slave to social media. You could be a slave to approval. You could be a slave to your looks. You could be a slave to spending. I don't know what it is, but whatever controls you, and you know that. I know it in my life, the things that can control me, people's approval, what they think of me, how many likes I get. Do you know those things can be good and then they slip into control? Jesus Christ came to set us free, that we're not controlled by these things, but we're free, we're secure, we're at peace. And this rich man, he was controlled by money. And Jesus went right to the heart of his lockdown issue. And he just said, your money's your issue. He said, but if you're willing to allow me to bring freedom, then come follow me. And the Bible says this man walked away sad because he didn't trust Jesus enough to set him free from the lockdown of his slavery to money. The second story, again, it's a little bit about money, but I want to suggest it's a little bit more about self as well. This is a parable. This is a parable that Jesus told about a man that actually is described as foolish. A foolish man. He was a businessman. Businessman, and he'd spent his whole life just building up his empire. The Bible says that he got to the point where he had done really well in his life, and he just said, great, good job done. I'm rich. He kind of rubbed his hands together. I'm rich. I'm sorted. I've got life together. In fact, I'm going to build even bigger barns. It's the story of the man who had all of his barns. And so I guess he was a farmer. I don't know. But he was building up all of his empire, all of his wealth. And he says, great, I've succeeded now. And he just wanted to settle back and just enjoy his wealth. If you know the story, you'll know that what happened to him that night, he died. And God says these words to him, you fool. You spent your life building up stuff for yourself, and your heart wasn't towards God. In other words, you were free physically. You enjoyed all the physical freedom that this world offers. You didn't have to worry about where your next bank check was coming in. You didn't have to worry about filling your cupboards with food. You had everything this world could offer, but you missed the one thing that matters most: knowing God and spiritual freedom. You missed it. The Bible describes this man as a fool. Jesus says this, you're foolish if you've got everything that this world offers, but you're not rich towards God. It's quite a challenging message, isn't it? As we ease out of lockdown, as we celebrate the freedom we have of shopping in Primark, whatever it might be, I want to beg you today, don't get so fixed on our physical freedom. Can I tell you, the Bible says that our life here is short. It's momentary. I don't know how many years I will have on this earth. I pray that I will live a few, you know, to a nice ripe old age, but I don't know. None of us can guarantee that. But what I do know is this, is that my spiritual freedom is more important than my physical freedom. My relationship with God is more important than anything that this world has to offer me. True freedom comes from in here. It comes from knowing that your spirit is free. So the third story is about a religious man. You see, the first man I talked about, he was a slave to his money. The second man, I would say he was a slave to himself. All he thought about was himself. Me, me, me. God, isn't that our culture? Me, me, me. It's all about me. It's all about me. The third man, he was a slave to religion. You know, even religion can lock you down. I shouldn't say even. I should just say religion can lock you down. Maybe this morning you're watching, and this story is going to just touch a nerve within you. I know it certainly does within me, because as somebody that's been in church all my life, knows all the rules, knows how to act as a good Christian girl, God's had to do a lot of work in me to make me realise that my righteousness counts for nothing. It's only Jesus that makes the difference in my life. You see, Jesus tells another parable. Two people. One was a religious man who came into the temple and he thanked God that he was so brilliant. I thank you, God, I'm so amazing. He was so full of his own righteousness. He was so confident in his own ability to keep God's law, to do everything right. But Jesus said there was another man in the temple. He was a tax collector. Everyone looked down on him. Dare I say, he was like the scum of the earth. certainly to the Jews. And there he is in the temple. And rather than praying like this religious man, he's somewhere in the corner. He's out of sight. Nobody can see him. And the Bible says that his head is hung low. And he's going, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He's acknowledging his need of God. And Jesus said this, it's that man, it's the tax man that is right before God. It's the tax man that knows freedom, not the religious man. Do you know, you can be a slave to religion. You can think that you're perfect in your own eyes. And you can be so locked up. Jesus Christ came to set us free. One of my favourite verses is found in the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 10. I reckon some of you at home could quote this with me. When Jesus said, we have an enemy, his name is Satan, and he comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Can I tell you again, that's what sin does? Sin destroys. It destroys. You might think that sin gives you freedom. It doesn't. It destroys. You get locked down in envy and bitterness and jealousy and anger and hatred and lies. And it's called sin, and it destroys. Unhelpful habits that you live your life by, it destroys. But Jesus said, I've come to set you free, and I've come to give you life and life to the full. But I've got to tell you this, Jesus won't force freedom upon you. He invites you. Do you want it? As I begin to wrap this message up, I want to ask this question. How do we step into the freedom that Jesus gives us? How do we do that? You might say, Sarah, I feel locked down in my spirit. How do I step into the freedom of what Jesus Christ died to give me? I want to very quickly tell you how. The first thing is this. You need to acknowledge your need of God. It's as simple as that. God, I need you. Do you know how many people are alive right now that just don't even consider God? Don't even think about God? I want to tell you, you need God. And until you reach that point of going, I need God, you won't know freedom. It's a little bit of my own story. It wasn't until I was quite later on, really, in life, that I began to realise how much I needed God. And I live in that revelation now. But I spent so many years at church faithfully being a Christian, but not really aware of how much I needed God. But I tell you what, when you reach that place of going, I need you, God, that's when you begin to get free, because you just begin to accept him and his grace and his love. You need to acknowledge that you need God. The second thing is this, is that you need to repent of your sin. You need to come before God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way that I've lived my life. I'm sorry for the things that I've done that offend you and offend others and bring pain to me as well. God, I ask you to forgive me. Do you know what the Bible says? That when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and he comes and forgives us instantly. Right now, wherever you're watching this, you can pray right now. God, I know I need you. I'm sorry for my sin. And he will come right now and he will forgive you. The third thing you need to do is this. You need to receive his love. Receive his love. Have you ever tried to love someone that doesn't want to love you back? It's tough, isn't it? I know as a parent that sometimes it can just feel like my children are maybe pushing me away sometimes just because of something they're going through. And as a parent, that's not what you want. You know, God is a parent. He's our Father. And he says, I want you to receive my love. One of the best things you could say this week to God is, God, I receive your love. Be like a child that just sits with him and just allow him to wrap his arms around you, allow him to be your father, allow him to love you, receive his love. I've got to tell you this though, in order to receive his love, you've got to let go of some stuff. You've got to be willing to say, I need you, God. Get rid of some of that dependent spirit that so many of us live with. And the last thing is this, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. And I'm going to pray a prayer like that now, and we're going to lead into singing a song. We're going to sing this morning, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And this song also has these words in it. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Come on, say that word with me. Free. 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 But the person that wants to come and reveal freedom to you is the Holy Spirit. I read yesterday in the Bible, and we prayed this in our prayer meeting yesterday on Zoom. You know the one Gareth was talking about where he prayed for a minute and he was muted? You know that one? And we quoted this verse. It says, where the Holy Spirit is, there's freedom. Where the Holy Spirit is, there's freedom. So today I want to invite you to join me in praying. Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come and fill my life? Right where you are, I don't know whether you're, I don't know, you might even be in bed watching this. You might be in your kitchen, you might be outside, I don't know if it's still raining. You might be in your lounge, I don't know where you are. But I'm asking you right now to pause like John and Beck told us to do earlier. You might want to even just hold your hands out like I'm doing now. And I'd love you to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'd love you just to say these words after me. Why don't you join me right now, wherever you are, in praying this prayer. Father God, I'm here today coming just as I am. I thank you that you love me and you see me and you know me. I acknowledge that I need you, God. I can't do life on my own anymore. I'm tired of trying. I need you. I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I'm sorry because it hurts me and it hurts others. And mostly, it keeps me from you, God. Today, I repent of my sin. I receive your love. Father, thank you that you are my good Father. I receive your love. I receive your acceptance. I won't live under condemnation anymore, but I live within the beautiful freedom of your love and your grace and your mercy. And I ask, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Now, Holy Spirit, come and fill me, because when I'm full of you, I'm free. Amen. Let's begin to worship with this song. Come on, wherever you are. You might even want to stand up. I guess you know the words to this song. Let's belt it out. Let's not sing this with our heads down. Let's sing it with our heads held high. Because this song just speaks of the freedom that Jesus Christ died and rose again for you and I to have. Let's not knock his gift away. Let's not do what Lottie did with the biscuits and shove it back in the packet. Seriously, some of us do that. Oh God, thank you for your grace. Oh, I'll just shove it away and I'll have that later. No, the biscuits are for you. The grace is for you. The love is for you. Find his freedom today. Find his joy today. Let's not rejoice in the physical restrictions that we're seeing around us. Let's rejoice today in the spiritual restrictions that Jesus brought an end to once and for all. For he who the Son sets free, that's you, that's me, is free indeed. Let's live in his freedom today. Thanks, Ian.